You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the Locked On Clippers podcast. Today is Thursday, January 4th, 2018, and I'm your host, Lucas Han. You can find me on Twitter at Lucas J. Han, and you can read my work at ClipsNation.com, as well as following along on Twitter at ClipsNationSBN. Today, we're going to get ready for the Clippers' big game tonight against the Oklahoma City Thunder, as well as take a look at the upcoming schedules over the weekend from teams the Clippers are competing with in the standings for playoff positioning in the Western Conference. I want to remind you guys that yesterday, we had a really full Locked On Clippers episode that came out in the afternoon. We talked about the Clippers' win on Tuesday. We talked about the upcoming schedule for the Clippers, kind of previewing the tough games that they have ahead in January. And then I kind of went in-depth on the team's options with regards to the close-to-expiring two-way contracts for CJ Williams and Jameel Wilson and how they might be able to make some minor trades to free up some money to pay those guys. Today we're going to have a little bit of a briefer episode focusing on this Oklahoma City game and the schedules going into the weekend for all of these playoff teams. So let's get into this Oklahoma City matchup. Oklahoma City is a team that has not played very well this season, even though they are full of talent on paper with Russell Westbrook, and then they traded, of course, over the summer for Carmelo Anthony and Paul George, who are, you know, Paul George especially is one of the league's best players. Carmelo Anthony is another star, even though he's, you know, probably a little bit past his peak performance, but they have a ton of offensive firepower. They were a team that people were quick to consider contenders in the Western Conference, of course. Everyone is a notch below the Golden State Warriors, but Oklahoma City really seemed to have put together enough talent to be competitive. But they've struggled so far this season. They've been a little bit better more recently. They're at 21-17 right now after going 7-3 in their last games. That means that they were at one point 14-14, but obviously picking up the pace now heading into this matchup with the Clippers. They did play a back-to-back, or this is a back-to-back for them. So they played against the Lakers in Staples Center last night, and they're playing against the Clippers tonight. Unfortunately for the Clippers, the Lakers weren't very competitive. They lost by 37 points to the Thunder. They allowed the Thunder to put up 133. And probably most importantly for the Clippers, they let the Thunder keep the minutes down on their starters. So Terrence Ferguson, who right now is filling in at shooting guard with Andre Roberson injured, played 33 minutes leading the way, but the really important guys, Russell Westbrook, 28 minutes, Carmelo Anthony, 27, Paul George, 27, Steven Adams, 26. So those guys should be plenty rested heading into this matchup with the Clippers. And, you know, one thing that kind of scares me about this matchup, even when the Clippers are healthy, is that they don't really have the bodies defensively to take on the amount of scorers that Oklahoma City has. Because the Clippers just, we knew this coming into the season, they didn't have the individual defensive personnel to be a great defensive team. Now, that doesn't mean that they can't be solid because they can rotate and cover their assignments, but they just don't have the kind of stoppers that you really need when you get up against the big-name superstars in the NBA, and Oklahoma City is one of the rare teams that can boast two of those guys in Russell Westbrook at point guard and Paul George at small forward. Carmelo Anthony at power forward is another very good scorer, but because he doesn't really play on the perimeter, he's someone who's going to be matched up with Blake Griffin anyway. But it's really more with what kind of defenders can the Clippers put out at the point guard, shooting guard, and small forward positions to match up with these guys. Now, if they were totally healthy, they would have Patrick Beverley, Milos Teodosic, and Danilo Gallinari starting at those perimeter positions. That wouldn't be so bad. Beverley's about as good as you can hope for defensively at the point guard position in the NBA. That doesn't mean he's going to lock up Russell Westbrook every night, because Russell Westbrook is about as good as you can get offensively at the point guard position in the NBA. But it does mean that you've got a pretty fair, you know, pretty fair battle, a pretty epic battle between the MVP of the NBA last season in Westbrook and one of the all defensive first team guards in the NBA last season, Patrick Beverley. Unfortunately for the Clippers, Patrick Beverley is out for the season, and this is one of the matchups where it really, really hurts. Then you would have Milos Teodosic guarding Andre Roberson if he was in the lineup, which is a matchup that you can easily get away with because Roberson isn't an offensive threat, so that's a great place to hide Milos. And you have Danilo Gallinari on Paul George, which is less than ideal, but Gallinari's solid and capable of scoring points of his own on the other end. So, you know, it's manageable with that. It's not the greatest matchup, but it's manageable. The problem with the injuries that the Clippers have is that they're probably going to have to go with C.J. Williams on Russell Westbrook, where, you know, C.J. is solid defensively, but I can only imagine he's going to get terrorized in that matchup. Wesley Johnson will probably guard Paul George, and he's going to get eaten alive in that matchup. And then Milos Teodosic being hidden on the Thunder shooting guard, that means with Andre Roberson injured, he's going to be left on Terrence Ferguson. And Terrence Ferguson is no offensive slouch, especially not in the way that Andre Roberson is. Just last night against the Lakers, Ferguson had 24 points. He made 6 of 9 threes. You know, hopefully he got all of his hot shooting out of the way against Los Angeles' other team. But even then, that's a matchup that scares me with Milos. And when the Clippers go to the bench, they've got some options, but they're not great. They certainly don't bring in like a Luke and Mbamute, or even, you know, throwing it back to the old days of Clipperdom, Quentin Ross. They don't bring in a stopper of that level off the bench. Sindarius Thornwell has been solid at times, but remarkably inconsistent. Juwan Evans, again, has been good at times defensively, but remarkably inconsistent and is very undersized. So while you can probably buy some minutes with Juwan Evans guarding Russell Westbrook, it's hard to believe that it's something that's going to hold up over the course of the full game. First of all, just because of the size disadvantage, with Westbrook being big and strong and fast and a freak athlete, and Juwan Evans being little and, you know, and scrappy and passionate, but just not able to compete athletically with Westbrook. But additionally, because both Thornwell and Evans have really struggled with foul trouble this season. Evans, especially in his first start earlier this week guarding Kemba Walker, only played 14 minutes and picked up 4 fouls. You kind of imagine that he would have a similar foul rate against Russell Westbrook, who's even more physical than Kemba Walker. So, that's really tricky for the Clippers. I think if Austin Rivers is able to go in this game, maybe you put him on Russell Westbrook. He's still listed as questionable, though, and you have to wonder if in someone's first game back from a strained Achilles, where they're questionable, maybe not 100%, if that's where you want to put Austin Rivers on the matchup. So this is a really difficult game for the Clippers. I don't expect them to win. I do think that they've proven to be the kind of team where they can be competitive nightly because they're going to find ways to compete. So even though they will get exploited in these perimeter defensive matchups, they're going to find ways to compete just in terms of whether it's second chance buckets, forcing turnovers, Lou Williams exploding off the bench for a big night, maybe Montrezl Harrell bringing some energy, getting, you know, 12 or 14 or 16 points off the bench. But this is a really, really difficult matchup for the Clippers. Not only is Oklahoma City a more talented team than them on paper, especially with the injuries that the Clippers have right now, Oklahoma City is a more talented team on paper. But I just think that specifically when they play against each other, Oklahoma City's perimeter scoring threats kind of exploit the lack of a defensive stopper that the Clippers have. It's kind of a similar issue when the Clippers match up with Golden State, who they have to play on Saturday, where, again, now instead of Russell Westbrook and Paul George, you're going out and trying to guard Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Kevin Durant at those perimeter scoring positions. We'll talk about that a little bit more in, you know, tomorrow's episode when we talk about how this Oklahoma City game ended up going and how the Clippers can maybe try to adjust versus the Golden State Warriors. But let's move on with today's episode. So next we're going to take a look at the upcoming schedules for the teams that the Clippers are up against in the standings competing for 5th through 9th in the Western Conference. But first, I want to remind you guys that this weekend, the NFL playoffs are kicking off with their wild card games. Sunday's matchups feature the Buffalo Bills, Jacksonville Jaguars, Carolina Panthers, and New Orleans Saints. We have everything you need to get ready for the wild card right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. So make sure you check out Locked On Bills, Locked On Jaguars, Locked On Panthers, and Locked On Saints for all of your NFL wild card coverage. Bowl season is here, and it's time to get in on the action with MyBookie. Are you sick and tired of getting the runaround when you ask for payout? Sign up for MyBookie.ag today and get paid fast when you win. MyBookie is your hookup for all of your betting needs, and you can even deposit using Bitcoin. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. And if you want to make money betting on the national championship game next Monday, you've got to go to MyBookie.ag. They're the only site I'd recommend. I trust them, but you don't have to take my word for it. You can check them out yourselves. They have odds on every matchup as well as live in-game betting on all of the season's NFL and college football bowl games. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 50% bonus. Use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, and you get paid. If you're going to bet, the only place to do it is at MyBookie. Now, let's take a look at the upcoming schedules for over the weekend for some of the Clippers' competitors in the playoff standings. Fortunately, the Clippers were able to capitalize on this recent soft patch of their schedule to climb back into the playoff picture. They now have 19 losses. That's only one more than Portland and New Orleans, who are in 7th and 8th place, and it's two more than Oklahoma City and Denver, who are in 5th and 6th. But unfortunately, as we went over in yesterday's episode, which you should probably go back and check out if you want a closer look at how the Clippers' schedule is going to size up for the rest of this month, the schedule gets tough in January, and it's not going to be as easy for the Clippers to keep climbing as it was for them to get to the point where they are now. I took a look at the games that each of the teams ahead of them have coming up over the weekend, and the Clippers definitely have the toughest fixtures of each of these five teams. So let's look at these games that are coming up, and you know, you guys will kind of see what I'm talking about. So in fifth place, and I left out Minnesota because they're at 15 losses, which, not that that is like a four-loss margin is unreachable for the Clippers with half the season remaining, but just that they're definitely not in the immediate view of the Clippers. That might be something where if the Clippers have a really good January or if Minnesota goes through a slump, we can look at it and say, okay, now Minnesota's within striking distance, but they're a little bit outside of the radar for the Clippers right now. The first team that I think really is within the Clippers' range, although I'd be surprised if the Clippers finish above them in the standings, are the Oklahoma City Thunder. Right now, we're at 21-17. Now, as I talked about in the previous segment, the Thunder have been playing much better lately. They went from 14-14 to win 7 of their last 10. Now they're 21-17. They seem like they're primed to keep climbing, like they're kind of putting things together. There are two games coming up from today through this weekend, so basically through Sunday when we're talking about all these teams' upcoming schedules. Oklahoma City's are tonight's game against the Clippers, of course, and then they play over the weekend against the Phoenix Suns. The Suns are not a very good team, so that's a game that you expect Oklahoma City to win. So if the Clippers are able to take care of Oklahoma City tonight and get a win, Oklahoma City is probably looking at 1-1. But most likely, they should be favored in both of these games. They probably should go 2-0, which would put them at 23-17. Denver, who is at 20-17 right now, has games coming up this weekend against the Jazz and the Kings. So again, those are two teams that are below, you know, the teams we're talking about in the standings. Utah isn't necessarily like a hopeless bottom feeding team like Phoenix and Sacramento are, where those teams are really low in the standings. But still, Utah, you know, is a team that Denver should be favored against, especially playing in Denver. So again, probably expect Denver to go 2-0, just like Oklahoma City. That leaves Denver at 22-17 heading into next week. Portland is the first team that has kind of a tough game. So Portland, their first game is against Atlanta, which, again, that's like another bottom-feeding team that they should definitely beat. But their second game is against the San Antonio Spurs, who obviously, you know, are perennially very, very good and one of the best teams in the NBA and the conference. So you expect Portland to go 1-1 in this stretch, which would leave them at 20-19. And then New Orleans, who's in 8th place right now, only has one game. So New Orleans is playing against Minnesota. Again, probably a game that you expect them to lose. It might be competitive. Minnesota has kind of been putting it together lately, in a similar way to Oklahoma City, where both of these teams struggled a lot more than anyone expected earlier on. But they're both 7-3 in their last 10. Minnesota being at 24-15 right now. That 17-3 stretch means that they were at 17-12. So 24-15, kind of helping to keep pull them ahead of the rest of the teams in the bottom half of the Western Conference playoff picture. I do think that the 4-5 battle is going to end up being between Minnesota and Oklahoma City. It's more of the 6-7-8-9 between Denver, Portland, New Orleans, and the Clippers. Three of those teams are going to make it. One of the teams is going to get left out. Of the teams that make it, one of them is going to have to play the Golden State Warriors in the first round. So you really want to finish in either 6th or 7th. So you want to finish in the top two of the kind of that four-team bunch. Obviously, anything can happen. You know, if a team gets injuries or goes through a really bad slump or whatever, someone can drop out of the race. Even someone as high as Minnesota or Oklahoma City could end up falling below these teams. But right now, it kind of looks like that's the race it's going to come down to. So Minnesota's only game left, New Orleans' only game over this weekend is against Minnesota. That's a game that they probably lose, leaving them at 19-19. So what we see between these four teams that the Clippers are jockeying with is that by Sunday night, Monday morning, heading into next week, the order of the team should be relatively the same, although the margin between the teams, between teams 5 and 6 and 7 and 8, will probably grow a little bit. So right now, Oklahoma City and Denver each have 17 losses. Portland and New Orleans each have 18 losses. I expect Oklahoma City and Denver to both go 2-0. I think Oklahoma City probably has the better chance of a loss because they play the Clippers, who are the best team in the games that they or Denver has to play. But still, most likely, Oklahoma City and Denver both go 2-0. They head into next week still at 17 losses. Portland has a game against the Spurs. New Orleans has a game against Minnesota. So they're both likely to lose one game over this stretch, which means they both head in next week with 19 losses. And then we get to the Clippers. So the Clippers have 19 losses right now, which means if they can have a successful weekend, they would be able to probably pull into a tie in the loss column with Portland and New Orleans. Unfortunately for the Clippers, not only do they have this tough game coming up against the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight, but they also have to take on the Golden State Warriors at Staples Center on Saturday. And the Golden State Warriors are a beatable regular season team. They don't always bring 100% effort, and we are talking about a 12:30 p.m. tip-off in Los Angeles. Maybe the Warriors go out the night before. Maybe they overlook the Clippers because they've fallen out of the playoff race for the first time since this, you know, quote-unquote rivalry became real when the Clippers knocked the Warriors out of the playoffs in 2014. But it just seems unlikely to me that the Clippers win either of these games. I think Oklahoma City, they've got a fighter's chance, but it's not, you know, it's definitely not like a 50-50 coin flip matchup. Oklahoma City has the upper hand. And against Golden State, it would be a big upset. So what you look at with the Clippers is probably heading into next week at 17-21, widening that gap between New Orleans and Portland from one loss to two games in the loss column, which, I mean, you know, it hurts. That definitely is not what you want to see, but it's probably, you know, it is what it is. We see kind of records ebb and flow over the course of the season like this because teams have weeks where the schedule is tough and weeks where the schedule is easy. Teams have weeks where they hit a lot of three-pointers and weeks where they can't buy a bucket. So you see it ebbing and flowing. I think the big thing for the Clippers is to just win the games that they're supposed to win. So Oklahoma City is a tough one. Maybe you can get a win. Two games coming up against Golden State, you know, you accept that those are both losses, and you just make up for it by knowing that New Orleans and Portland and Denver and maybe Oklahoma City are also going to lose the games that they have to play against teams like Golden State and Cleveland and San Antonio and Houston. And what you have to do as the Clippers is, if you want to stay alive, take the game that you have on Monday against Atlanta, take the two games you have next week against Sacramento, and win those games. So instead of looking at it like you're going 0-2 over the course of this weekend, you have to look at it like you're going 3-3 over the course of the next 10 days. And that's a little more palatable, but you need to take care of business in those three winnable games. And then what happens after that is the Clippers head into a closing stretch of the month where in the last 2 weeks of January, they have a head-to-head game against Denver. They have a head-to-head game against Utah, who's at 10th place right below them. They have a head-to-head game against Minnesota, who's at 4th place. They have a head-to-head game against New Orleans, head-to-head game against Portland. These are really their chances to make up ground instead of just treading water and hand losses to the teams that they're directly competing with and try to actually take what, you know, and what they've done so far has been really impressive. To be where they are on January 4th at 17-19 in 9th place, just outside the playoff picture, with all of the injuries that they've had, a lot of people wrote them off, especially when Blake Griffin went down. A lot of people thought that would be the straw that broke the camel's back. So for the Clippers to be where they are, it has taken impressive, overachieving performances in the last month. And it's taken, you know, some luck because a lot of the teams above them have been underwhelming. But ultimately, they're going to need to win these. You know, this isn't enough. Being 17 and 19 in ninth place isn't enough. You want to get to that sixth place. And so they're going to need to win these big head-to-head games. The climb isn't over. If anything, I think the easy part of the climb is what's behind them. Because passing to, you know, they were battling in the standings with the Lakers for a while. Passing teams like the Lakers, passing teams like the Jazz, who are going to be lottery teams, that's the easy part. Those teams lose a lot of games. They're really easy to pass. And now this next echelon of teams that the Clippers are trying to pass are all about 500 or a little above, which means you've got to be even better than that. You've got to raise the bar even higher if you want to pass them up. So I'm hopeful for the Clippers. I think that they've put themselves in the position that they needed to put themselves in at the beginning of January to make the run that they want to make. And they most certainly have the head-to-head matchups coming up in this month where they can really start making some noise and pulling themselves into the playoff race. But the kind of meteoric rise that they've had recently with this 6-1 stretch in their last seven games, I don't think that that's necessarily likely to continue as the schedule gets tougher, as the teams ahead of them are winning games at a higher rate than the teams that they have more recently passed have done. And so, you know, I think it's probably time to take a step back and be ready to be patient, be ready to watch them lose three of their next four games without thinking that they need to blow it up. They should lose three of their next four games. That's what's expected. I think the bigger issue would be if they go ahead and they lose to Atlanta or they lose those games against Sacramento and start to really fall behind. But right now, this team has done enough that I have faith in them to take care of business in the games that they need to take care of business in, maybe even steal one or two upsets along the way, and get to that stretch at the end of January where they can really take advantage of those head-to-head games. And then schedule gets a little bit easier in the first part of February before the All-Star break. But we'll talk about all of that later. For now, that's going to do it for today's episode of the Locked On Clippers podcast. I want to thank you all for listening. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or feedback, you can hit me up on Twitter at Lucas J. Han. You can email me lhan.clipsnation@gmail.com. Make sure you are following the Clips Nation blog at clipsnation.com, as well as following along on Twitter at clipsnationsbn. Thanks for listening, guys. This is Lucas Han signing off for Locked On Clippers.